Thank you for your patience. Before I go on to the next message, which is just kind of a different message with a different focus, though the story may be in there of a dream or vision, but it's a different message. But before I go there, somebody asked me a question in between the two meetings. They said, what was your vision or dream? Well, I personally didn't have one. I didn't have one, and that's okay. That's totally fine. And so I didn't have a dream or vision, and that's fine. I love the Lord Jesus. He first loved me, and Jesus knows me perfectly. Jesus got to me the exact way that I needed to hear the gospel, and I didn't need a dream or vision. But God speaks to some people in this way through dreams and visions, and especially unbelievers, convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, as we saw in the Old Testament. Another thing before I move on to the next thing is just a general guidance. For many of you, this message is new. Some of you didn't hear the Cornelius 10 message. Some of you haven't looked at Acts 2 in light of the dreams and visions that God promises in the last days there. As you begin to study this, I'll just give you two scriptures to kind of head you into the center of God's word. One of them is to reject the profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. That's 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. So if you hear profane stories, God told me to buy a $65 million jet, reject that. Reject the profane and old wives' fables, exercise yourself toward godliness, but also maintain 2 Timothy. Beware of this. Verse 2 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. There in the final list of these horrible sins which no believer ought to walk in if we walk in the light, and God give us repentance if we're wrestling with these things, it says in that final part, one of the worst sins there is the last one. I shouldn't say it's worse, but it's the last one God mentions, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. So brethren, as you study the scriptures, as you hear dream and vision stories, as you test all things, reject the profane and old wives' fables, exercise yourself toward godliness, and beware of having a form of godliness but denying its power. And that word power is the same word power as Strong's number 1411. It's the same power that has to do with God's power. I believe it's the same exact power word where Jesus said, you know, neither the scriptures nor the power of God. We're not to deny the power of God, right? And so you have to study the scriptures concerning this topic, be able to help those who are in need in concerning this topic. And we have a big part to play in this. We have a big part to play. People are having dreams and visions. Some of them are from the devil. Some of them are from God. And sinners don't know the difference. It's our part to do that. It's our part to reject the profane and old wives' fables, exercise ourselves toward godliness, but be careful, beware of having a form of godliness and denying its power. From such people turn away. So don't deny the power. If the dream or vision is of God, it passed the test of Scripture, do not deny the power of God. That's not what God would have us do. Right? And so there's a gentle exhortation, two scriptures, 1st and 2nd Timothy. That was 1st Timothy 4, 6 to 8 is a good region there, and 2nd Timothy 3, 2 to 5, which I read to you in full there. So we're going to move on to a different message now, and this message is themed around the promise we have in the scriptures that our Heavenly Father is always working. It's a wonderful promise that the Lord gives us. And we know that he's always working. He's not only working. If the scriptures tell us he's working, then what that means, friends, is he's always at work. Always tells me it's before, during, and after. So one of the encouragements I want you to take away from the scripture is our Heavenly Father is always working. He's working before you come into the labor alongside him. Our Heavenly Father is working while you labor alongside him. Behold, I am with you even unto the end of the age, Jesus said, concerning evangelism, and that our Heavenly Father will continue to be working long after you're gone, asleep in Jesus. And this is very encouraging, and it comes specifically into your life if you have faith concerning this promise of God, that our Heavenly Father is always working. Friends, I have a very humbling moment here. I thought I had that scripture pulled up and I don't. Can someone please give me the reference for that? Where in the four Gospels, Jesus says, my Heavenly Father is always working. John 5:17. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all to kill him, all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, the Sabbath, the day of rest, instituted, taking its tradition or its pattern all the way from the Old Testament and creation, where the Lord created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested, right? It's the Sabbath. But that does not mean that our Heavenly Father is not always working. Indeed, he is. My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. So our God is always working. And this is a very simple promise. I believe it dovetails with faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the simple exhortation, encouragement, and challenge to the saints today is, do you believe, when you cannot see it, that our God, our Heavenly Father, is always working? I wish I could see it clearly all the time, in evangelism especially. Man, I wish I could see it. Fish, we covered it during my testimony, fish stink, right? Man, they don't encourage you in evangelism. They don't cheer you on. And so I would love to see glimpses that show me that our Heavenly Father is always working. But you see, if I always wanted to see it, then where would the faith be in there? How would the faith work out in that? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not seen. We must believe that our Heavenly Father is always working, even when we cannot see it. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, even when you can't see him working, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it's a very simple exhortation. There's not a lot of teaching today. There's more exhortation and encouragement, as I want to give you stories to encourage you that your Heavenly Father is always working. Okay? Now, we've been on the topic of dreams and visions just in the past message. Did you guys notice there in that story, the lady, the Muslim lady, said she'd had a vision in her car in Tanzania, in Africa, 11 years prior. At the time we met her, I think I was saved maybe eight and a half years. The Lord brought us that day to co-labor, and the saints there at that church, we co-labored together with God, and the Holy Spirit convicted her of sin, and she was saved. But we learned something about her, that her vision of Jesus had happened 11 years prior. Well, I'd only been saved about 8 years at the point that we were witnessing to her. Before I was saved, God was already working in something that I would come and put my hands to by God's grace, be invited to. Isn't that amazing? Before you were saved, God was putting into order sequences of events for fish that you would meet that they might believe. Our Heavenly Father is always working. She had a vision 11 years before we ever even met her in Tanzania. Our Heavenly Father is always working. We must have faith, though we don't see it. Her husband, God bless him, he had faith. She never told him about her vision, and yet he continued to preach the gospel to her. Continually. Why? The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we must believe Jesus when he said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. And I don't believe he stopped, friends. Not one bit. Your salvation is the evidence of that, that God is still working. And so, God is working before we put our hands to the labor, right? In fact, you guys remember in my testimony where my mother, my mother had told me to give up to 30% of my money as a Muslim to the sake of Allah and Islam. By the time years later, I would meet a fisherman He would challenge me with the tithe because I was a Wall Street man and I was out for money. He would challenge me with the tithe when I wanted to test the God of the Bible. If you've heard my testimony, I looked at the 10% tithe and I said, that's a discount rate to the 1/3% that mom's been telling me, right? And so it's a very funny part of my testimony. We're not under the law. We're not Jews under the law. We're under grace today. You can give, each give according to what he has. You can give far more than 10% today in seeking the kingdom of God. And so here's the thing. Before I ever met that fisherman who would share the gospel with me, years and years before, my mother, who was unsaved, told me, as a Muslim, you should give 1/3 of your income to Allah and Islam. You know what's amazing? I see my Heavenly Father's hand in this. We've looked into that. And some of you who came to the conference on Muslims, we shared it with you. Muslims are told, based on the sect they belong to give 2.5% or 5%, depending on the sect they belong to. Where my mother came up with 33% is any man's guess. To this day, we have no idea. Well, I have an idea. My Heavenly Father is always working. From way back then, God set that sequence of events into order. That when I would meet a fisherman, I would be challenged with the tithe, and that would be the first miracle I would see, and eventually down the road unto saving faith. But that fisherman had no idea. He just had to believe, when he came up to me, a proud Muslim, that his Heavenly Father had been working up till now. Until now, right? And so, God is saving Muslims today. Boy, I have it written down in my notes. It's kind of out of the scope of this message, but I'll encourage you with this. Our Heavenly Father is working to such a great degree today. From organizations that are witnessing to Muslims, what we are hearing, friends, is that God has saved more Muslims from Islam into Christ in the past 20 years than in the entire history of Islam. And somewhere around half of them, it is being said, somewhere around there, only God knows the true number, are having dreams and visions. Do we have a part to play today? Is our Heavenly Father always working? Are we to come up and preach the gospel as God is co-laboring? God is working even when we put our hands to the labor. And again, I'll fit this right into the context of the previous message we had in dreams and visions. God is working right in the context of where we're working today, right? We came to the church that day and in Nebraska, we had no idea God was working in that very moment. In that very room was a Muslim woman in disguise. And God was working in that very moment. During the preaching, I confess to you, I did not feel a great presence of power at all in the preaching that day. And I saw myself in the preaching. I found myself questioning myself. God, are you working today? I don't feel any presence or power in the preaching. Nothing at all. In fact, I'm beginning to question whether your leading for me to preach on this topic was of your leading or my own. Was this of your will or not? Oh, the Heavenly Father was working, wasn't he? The power and presence that day was convicting a woman in the audience. I just have to believe the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I didn't feel it that day. That's okay. I'm not to trust in my feelings. I'm to trust the scriptures, the promises that up until now, my Heavenly Father is working, and so is Jesus, my Savior. And God was in that very moment. We had an opportunity to visit an assembly in Maryland, and we preached on this topic as the Lord led. I cleared it with the elders. They said, no, that's fine. Go ahead and preach it. The previous message that you had heard similarly on Acts 10 months ago, and we went and we sat in the audience after the message was done, and we sat right next to a sister. And that was the sister, we had no idea, whose boss had had the oil, puddle of oil, dream and vision. And she said, I can't believe this. What you're saying, this I believe, I need to take a new look at this topic concerning what my boss is saying. God was working before she arrived there at her workplace. Her workplace is a funeral home. So God was working before. This is the scope of this message is really about our Heavenly Father is always working. The Lord was working before she got there. This guy had been saved through a dream or vision. The Lord was working during her walk with Christ. We happened to arrive that day, and by God's grace, she needed to hear teaching on that subject. She went and back to the funeral home, no longer to deny the power of God in dreams and visions, but to test all things, deny the profane, but never deny the power of God. And God was working. Here's what happened next. The next time we saw her, she's a sister in the assembly in New Hampshire Avenue Gospel Chapel. We can introduce you to her. She said, you're not going to believe what's happened. We said, what? She said, I went back to work with a different attitude concerning these things to test them according to the scriptures, not deny them. And in came a Muslim family to do a funeral at our workplace, at the funeral home. And they came and we were doing their funeral and I saw a Muslim lady crying, wailing and crying. And I felt led of the Lord to go pray for her. I said to her, can I pray for you? And so she takes our sister from the assembly. This is right into your seats, friends. Our sister in the assembly takes the Muslim lady into a different room in the funeral home, prays for her. At the end of the conversation, the Muslim lady says to her, I have seen your Jesus in a vision. Is God working while we're working? Is our Heavenly Father always working? He is, isn't he? Isn't he, right? What she would have done previously, she would have denied it altogether, maybe. But at this point, she said, what did you hear or see? And the lady told her the whole story and she shared it. It's out of the scope of this message, so I won't cover it in this moment. But if the evidence is there, our Heavenly Father is always working. We have to step up to the plate and be ready to play the game. That is, to labor, co-labor with God in the Great Commission. And so here's what happens. As God was working, and the Lord continues to work in that story, as a result of that lady's dream and vision, she's desiring to learn Christian things and even desiring to come to church. She's not yet saved, but God's not finished in that story. And so our Heavenly Father is always working. He's working before we put our hands to the labor. He's working while we're laboring, though we cannot see it. And he's working long, long after we're gone. How many of you remember me sharing with you the sermon on foreigners and strangers? How many of you remember that? Show of hands, only a few of you. It was a Muslim family that came as foreigners and strangers to this country. A Christian family took them into their own home and treated them as brother and sister. And this Christian family ministered to the Muslim family until the Muslim family, after just a couple weeks, moved out all their own. That Muslim family would go on and their kids would be raised. They had 2 6-year-olds and a 12-year-old. Their kids would be raised and they would go on to school and they would accomplish much. And long after they kind of lost touch with that Christian family, God was continuing to work, though the Christians could not see it anymore. In time, the youngest member of that family, that Muslim family that had been taken into the Christian home, all of them ministered to those Muslims. The youngest member of that Muslim family, 22 years later, the youngest Muslim member of that family would believe on Christ as Lord. I was the youngest member of that family. I was that boy. I have to wonder if they ever had any clue what God would do in honor of them working. My Heavenly Father is always working. He's working even until now. Here's what would happen. I would get saved about 22 years after they took us into their home. Another 8 years would pass, and both the parents of that household would pass away. And just this past year, we got news that the mother had passed away. The father had passed away a few years before that. We got news just this past year that the mother had passed away. My wife and I happened to be within driving distance of where the funeral would be, which is a miracle of God. We're always all around the country. It was unbelievable. We were there. We were within 11 hours. My wife and I prayed about it. And we felt led of the Lord to go to this funeral. And we drove through the night, 11 hours, made it to the funeral the next day. If you can believe it, we were the first ones there. And we went into the funeral home. And there's a funny story. We drove there in regular clothes and I wanted to change into a suit to honor the Lord and to honor this family, this Christian family. And I couldn't find a changing room in that funeral home. So I told my wife, I said, you look out. I'm going to go into this corner and change. And no sooner had I started changing than the funeral home director walks in. And he says, what are you doing here? It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Now, thank the Lord. He was a man. I'm a man. And only my wife was there. And no harm, no foul. But what ended up happening is we waited and people started to filter into that funeral home for the service. And eventually the three kids, who were from that Christian family, came in. And as we discussed and talked with them, we learned more about those Christian parents who had ministered to us, who had taken in my family when we were new here in this country. complete strangers and foreigners to them. They took us into their own home. That we were just about strangers to them. They'd only met us once before that. Here's what happens. They were there. The kids were there at the funeral. And in talking with the kids, I couldn't quite tell where the kids were with the Lord. I can't tell you this day that the kids are going on for Jesus. I can't tell you they're saved, they're not saved. I can't tell you they were hot at one point, they're cold today. I don't know what's going on. I wasn't very encouraged by where the kids were. But as I spoke to the kids and they were telling the testimony of their parents, and they had pictures there, collages of pictures there, we saw in the lives of these parents pure and undefiled religion. Boy, I tell you, their works showed their faith. They had adopted two twins who were 9, I believe, at the age they were adopted, and raised them as their own kids. Years later, the twins would run away, never to be heard again. So much for thank you. But the parents continued, believing that the Heavenly Father is always working. They continued in the labor. They continued to minister to foreigners and strangers. They took my family in. Even though years later, they wouldn't hear from us from time to time. And we would go on with our lives. But they continued to labor, believing that the Heavenly Father is always working. They went, the lady, during her last years, was working. The lady of the house, the mother, was working in a retirement home, ministering to the elderly, continuing to labor. And not only that, we learned that before that, she had had a job at a school ministering and working on special needs kids. These people picked all their jobs and everything they did as pure and undefiled religion. Orphans, widows, strangers, you go down the list, pure and undefiled religion. They lived their lives believing that the Heavenly Father was always working, even when they wouldn't see the fruit. And then something amazing happened. I wish they would have seen it. One day they will. 30 years after they took us in was the funeral. And I came to the funeral and I preached the gospel in their honor. Oh, you should have seen it, friends. It was well beyond my level of gifting and preaching. God gave the Holy Spirit that day in that room. The room was utterly silent. A pin could be heard dropped. At one point, one man who had a grudge with the family came to break into the preaching. And he said, "Why? When are you going to finish this?" And the whole room rebuked him. They said, "You be quiet." And they all listened to the preaching of the word, as God's presence could be felt in that room. The word was preached that these people had loved God, had labored faithfully, had taken us in. And I was saved years later. And now 30 years later, just a couple months off from 30 years, I had come by God's grace to their funeral, by God's allowance and timing, to preach the same gospel. Long after they were gone, their Heavenly Father would continue to work. The father had died years before that and the mother was dead. They couldn't bury her because the ground was frozen. And they decided to have the service after waiting so long. They were gone, asleep in Jesus. But their Heavenly Father was working up until now. And still does, and so does his son. Would you labor today with faith that God would pay it back to you in ways unimaginable 30 years from now? Isn't that the very pattern we see with the Old Testament saints? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What was the promise God gave to Abraham? That through his seed the world would be blessed, right? That his offspring would be numbered as the stars if he could count them. How many offspring did Abraham get to see with his own eyes? How many? How many are in Israel today? In the district of Jerusalem alone, there is a reported 600,000 Jews in one district in that country. I believe Abraham did not get to see 99% of his own offspring. Neither did he see you or me. We were grafted in by the blood of Christ onto the same branch of the same tree. You and I as Gentiles grafted in. He didn't get to see us. He didn't get to see you. He didn't get to see all the Jews that live in Jerusalem today. mathematically, I haven't done the math, but I would not be surprised if Abraham did not get to see 99.999% of the promise of his offspring that would be numbered as the stars if you could count them. But he did what God asked, even without seeing, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have even more promises today. And my Father has been working until now, Jesus said, and I have been working. Abraham gave everything to follow the Lord. He was called away from his family. He was called away from his country to a country that God would show him. And he left. And those who would follow him, Hebrews tells us in verse 13, Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. God is working even before we came to put our hands to the labor, even before our salvation. God is working when you put your hands to the labor. I need a lot of encouragement all the time. And I encourage myself with this thought. The Lord encourages me by bringing this to remembrance in me, that it's impossible for me to labor and my Heavenly Father, who's perfect, to not do His part. That's just an impossibility. He's always working. God is working before you came to the labor. He's working in this very moment, and He'll work even 30 years from now when you're asleep in Jesus. Centuries from now, as Abraham, it was centuries from that point after Abraham had gone that God is still working. I don't believe we have centuries today. I don't know the day or the hour, but Jesus could appear tonight. Let us, friends, encourage one another, provoking one another to good works, having faith, laboring always, anyways, even without sight, especially when we can't see it, having faith in the promise that Jesus had answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your help. Lord, in my own flesh, I lose sight. I try to see with my own eyes. I try to grasp with my hands. I look for a substance, a morsel to hold on to. But that's not the way of faith. For it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the offspring that would outnumber the stars that were not seen, the son of promise, Isaac, that for years was not seen, the Messiah prophesied to come to save, to remove our transgressions. By his stripes we would be healed, but for so many, they all died in faith. It was not seen. And Jesus himself, you have seen and you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Lord, we are blessed today by you that we have not seen, but we believe. We believe. We believe. What a good work you've done in our lives. Lord, we pray and beg that you would give us a morsel, a mustard seed more of faith, to hold fast to this belief you've given us, to continue to labor when the odds are stacked, when it seems the days are wicked, to redeem the time by serving you, holding fast to the promise that my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Thank you for the man who spoke these words. Though we have not seen him, we have believed him, believed on him, and saved by him. Help us to labor, having not seen, but believing that you're always, always working. In Jesus' name, amen.